Okay, so thank you very much, everyone, for coming over here. Baruch Hashem, Beis Medrash Yad Landers. You feel it. You feel it in the air. It's good. Of course, that means to people. So it's a very different world, right, from last Monday to this Monday. It's very, very different. So I'll share with you an interesting thing. A lot of people are struggling with how to cope and how to. This thing, little calendar here. This is my iPhone. Not Stam an iPhone. This is the most sophisticated one. This one is. I've said this a lot of times. This is so sophisticated. Even the Chinese cannot hack into this. Although they've tried multiple times, but they were not successful. The Russians, North Korea, that doesn't work. Does not work. Shalom has access, but otherwise, no. Yaakov, how are you? Good to see you. So, Lemaisa...
Rob, the focus is on the camera and not on your face.
The focus is on the camera, not on my face. Okay. Ari is in charge of technicalities over here. Very good. Shkayach. Yes. Right. Okay, so are we back in business?
We're back in business.
Are we good now? We still see the camera, right, don't we?
Not really.
Not really. Okay, Ari, maybe we should put the plastic back on, the plexiglass. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Yes. We're trying to get focused here in our lives, yes. Okay. So when your tech guy is like into learning the entire day, you know.
There we go. You guys good now?
Why do we have the camera in the picture? Is that okay? Is that supposed to be there? Are we good? Let's ask Shalom from Baltimore. Are we good? Shalom, we're good. Yaakov, we're good? We're good. Okay, fine. So, back to where we were. It's been a very different. Oh, back to my calendar. Okay, I'm sorry, lost track over there. So this is very technologically advanced. No one can hack into it. It is extremely technologically advanced. Not only is it so technologically advanced, it also doesn't need a battery. You don't have to worry. It's okay. I don't want to get into it. But basically, I have my whole life in this calendar, and before I give it to Russia, I write down the Rosh Prokim over here. What did you do to Yaakov and Shalom? They didn't do anything wrong. Don't send them out. Got worried there for a moment. Okay. So like I was saying before, Drasha, I pretty much write down my whole like life story here. And I don't write out speeches, but I have the Rosh Prokem on a speech. And this is where I cheat from when I write my speech. And especially kind of Shabbos kind of a thing. Because you're speaking in front of a girls' camp or a boys' camp. You stand there with a paper. It's like, you know, this is like I cheat on this. So I was at a very, very nice Shabbos, fantastic Shabbos, with a big, big camp, a school that went out, a girls' high school. We had 700-800 kids there. And I had my speech. And I've told you many times, every speech is four speeches, right, Ari? Which four speeches?
The one you should have said.
The one you prepare, the one you say, the one should have said, and the one that people hear. They usually have no shachas to each other. Usually very, very different. So, but nice, this was my speech. Okay. So Shabbos morning, went to the mikveh. I was told we're in the country. I was told that a half hour away this bungalow colony, and that I would be able to go to the mikveh over there. And I went. It's true, it was a half hour away. Made Erev Tchum before Shabbos. And the mikveh, Baruch Hashem, was locked. I went Erev Shabbos to ask them permission. They said, no problem. Where's the mikveh? They showed me. There was a combination lock. Apparently, everyone in the colony knows the combination. Apparently, they didn't feel like putting up a sign what the combination is. Maybe a safety measure for the kids. Good idea. And apparently, everyone else in the colony was also asleep. Now, it was very early. So I walked back a half hour, and I said, nah, I got to have a mikveh Shabbos morning. So there was a lake. There was a lake. And I want to tell you, it was cold. This. It was like really cold. I didn't realize how cold it was, but... So remember the stories of the Rebbes that would bang open the ice and then crawl inside? There was no ice. It wasn't that bad. And maybe as I say the story, it'll get colder and colder. But The reality is it wasn't that bad. And it went into the water and got out. I was there with my son. And as he started walking away, my son said to me, "You know, we're out of the Erev." I said, "Oh, my watch." "You're right, my watch." "Okay, you know, I'll put my watch down." That's the mile of not having a Rolodex. Not Rolodex. Rolex, yes. I have a Rolodex, so this is much cheaper. But anyway. I figure Casio for $10 will get me another. Worst comes to worst. You know what I mean? Put it down in the grass. But then my son said to me, "But you have your thing in your pocket." I said, "Oh, no." Now I'm stuck with my calendar out of my pocket. That's like my whole speech. That's like my whole drasha. That's like my whole everything. No one's looking. Hashem's looking, right? Especially we're out of the open. I guess I have to put it down. So I figured, let me take a look and I'll memorize my speech. You know, I'll memorize my speech. And then I said, you know, so my son said, "You know what? I'll come with the baby, like a toddler." And I know, the whole shyly, you can tell the cotton to do something for you on Shabbos. Or the Kivega says you could if it's for the cotton's bone sarach. And the kid will surely play with it. He'll pick it up, he'll play with it, and he'll walk into it with the air. If you want time to do it, I'll take it from him, and something like that. Don't rely on me, al pi halacha, okay? But that was the idea on this very big Eis HaTzorach. So I put it down neatly in the grass, together with my watch. I figure the watch will come back for after Shabbos, but the calendar, I need the speech, right? And then I down to Shachos, and afterwards we come back with the kid, and it's Vayel Reinani, it's gone. The calendar is gone, the watch is gone, and I see somebody came to clean up because the life jackets are all organized. So I said to the owner of the camp, and he was trying to help me along, and he said, "Oh, wow," he says, "I told the guy to go clean up and tell him to clean the lake." I don't know if he cleaned the lake, but that wouldn't have been a bad idea, right? But so he said, I don't know where he is. He's not here now, that particular individual that cleaned up. And I guess he says, if you want, he says, he was kind enough to say, "We'll empty all the garbage bags. Look for it." I said, "How many garbage bags are we talking about?" So Baruch Hashem, he told me it was under 100. I said, "I think that's like a major, I'm not going to make you do that." But like, he says, let me try to figure it out. Let me try to track him down. He was really like, and he said, he tracked him down. He called him up and he says, no, he saw it and he brought it up and he put it into some box on top. I said, great, he put it into some box on top, but we couldn't find the box, we couldn't find the top, and it's time to go up to the speech. And there's like 800 people there, and I'm getting up to this speech, and all my notes are gone. I've been there, done that. So I said to myself, why do these things happen to me? Like, Hashem, you want to remind me I'm a shlemazel? I know. Don't have to remind me. And then I said to myself, let me put this into proper perspective. Clearly, Hashem said, you prepared a nice speech, okay? It's not what I want you to say. It's not what I want you to say. So Hashem said, give me that! And then I had another machshava. I said, when I finished the speech, I said, I got it down to a science. That's a good speech. And I said, you're going to talk to them about what happened, right? And you're feeling good about yourself. You got yourself a good speech. That's just wonderful. People are sitting shiva. People are crying. People are in pain. And you got yourself a good speech. Wow, that's great. So God says, give me that. I was going to say, I got the message. I got the message. And I got up there. And I basically, whatever came to my mind, and I just poured my heart out. And right after the speech, right afterwards, he comes running. We found it. So I said, okay, you have it back, right? I think that this is the story of life. It's a story of life. We just have to learn. It's a story whether shiduchim don't work out. It's a story whether parnasa doesn't work out. It is the story of life. But big deal, that's losing a calendar, losing a speech. How do we deal with the hard balls? How do we deal with the events of last week, which is really this week, because people are still sitting shiva. Miron is the heart of Klal Yisrael. It's a place where people run to for Yeshuas. So how could it be, right? So somebody said it this way. Last year, Reb Shimon said, you can't come. Of course, it was because of COVID. That's just a reason. And this year he told us to go home. So how do we put it into perspective? So I think we put it into perspective is imagine every year you come to your mother's house on her birthday, on her anniversary, her parents' house. And you're doing it for years, and you're so happy, and there's such simcha, and there's such joy. And one day, mom says, can't come, there's going to be big changes, I'm redoing the house. And the next year, we all come, and mom comes outside and says, no, you got to go home, kids. I love you. You got to go home. Something big is happening, and right now, it can't be business as usual. And I think that's really what's happening. You have this sense, COVID is not just something that's going to come and go. It's the beginning of the Rebbein Shalom has a plan before Geula, before Mashiach. No, I did not have a Leilya Novi that came and gave me this information. But I'm just saying, look at the world. One thing leads to another. But being as it may be, we need to know how to swallow life from here on in. So just imagine somebody has a golden Becher. Okay, this is a golden Becher. It's a gorgeous Becher. Use your imagination a little bit, okay, guys? You know what I mean? This Becher is worth $5 million. Well, I figure, being that you're imagining anyway, $50 million, you know, like, that's 80,000 bitcoins, whatever. It's this Becher is. And I am making Kiddush, and I'm making Kiddush, you know, and I'm holding it up high and proud, and maybe a bit too high and a bit too proud, and bah! And it falls on the floor. Terrible with props. And it falls on the floor. And Uncle Jeffrey, who's a Tyre Yid, but he's a Yid that, if your name is Jeffrey, I don't mean you, okay? He's a Tyre, but he's a Yid that, what do they say, it's a Sprite Yiddishkeit a little bit, he spreads Yiddishkeit, you know what I mean to say? Yeah. Nice way. And Uncle Jeffrey wants to do me a favor, and he says, here, I'll get it for you, and he doesn't realize that he steps on it. And he goes, here it is. I'm looking at my gold Becher, my $50 million gold Becher, and I go, thanks, Uncle Jeffrey. And Uncle Jeffrey says, by the way, I think I'm going to leave now. It was a very good suit. I really enjoyed those three kugels you gave me. I can tell. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like a massive, you know, I'm really tzibrachan, really in pain. And, you know, and along come the guys and say, there's a reason that happened. Your Becher was Chayiv Skil. Okay, let me. It must be the Becher was purchased with money that was not honest. Okay. That's my Becher. It's like my Yerusha from my... And there's a goldsmith sitting by the table. He goes, I'm not allowed to talk about this on Shabbos, but you think you can fix it? No. I can maybe, you know, squash it back into play. It's going to have dents here and there. Maybe a different goldsmith. And I go into a massive yish. And my wife turns to me and says, in this mashal, you don't need a goldsmith. You need an artist. An artist? Yeah. You're not going to get those dents out. But you get the right artist, he'll take these dents and incorporate it in a gorgeous picture of your Shalayim Yerachaydash around and around. The waves will be the waves of a sea. And the Becher will be the most beautiful, gorgeous Becher in the world. If you take a goldsmith who's going to try to fix it, it'll just crack. Take an artist who's going to take the existing dents and turn it into a beautiful cup. And I think that's kind of the nemshel for where we're at. If anyone thinks this story is going to go away, it's not going to go away. It's part of who we are. It's going to be part of who we are until Mashiach comes. It's not going to go away for the 45 families that are missing something by some of them have double tragedies, but missing people by their Shabbos table. The hole is going to be long and dark. For those 45 people that their mission came to an end, Reb Shimon stood there and said, okay guys, let me explain to you what happened. And the chances are that it says before a person comes down to this world, he sees how he's going to live this world and how he's going to leave this world. So they all said, oh, of course, sure, hey, Reb Shimon. But for us down here and for their families, I think there's something very important. Even to say that 45 people died is a certain carelessness. It's not 45 people. It's one person 45 times. Because for every member of that family, it's one person. For that mother that was standing by Abu Kabir, and they said, they brought your kid to Yerushalayim, and she fainted already. To the father who cried out, my son went to Miron to daven for a shidduch, and now we're burying him. It's one person. Hitler, Yimach Shemai, didn't kill 6 million Yidden. He killed one person 6 million times. He didn't kill people. He killed Baruch, he killed Chaim, he killed Moshe, he killed Rachel, Chana, and Leah. I was saying one of the people, I don't want to say names because I'm not good with names. But this father had survived. And when they came and they were trying to drag him out, he said, no, I have a son in a Talmud here. No, leave me here. I have a son in a Talmud here. They weren't able to get to the son in the Talmud. There's one of the people that passed away, the eyewitnesses are saying, more and more stories, people are talking, are coming out. One said that they started dragging him out, and he said, no, there are children underneath me. Take them first. He told them, there are children underneath me. Take them first. And he didn't survive. He mamish waved them off to save the children. Figure out who Klal Yisrael is. So a young man in Kiryas Yoel, somebody came to me, Nachmovli, said, I was right next to him. I was laying there. I heard him very peacefully say Shema, Kabbalas al Malcha Shemayim, say Vidui, Pasik by Pasik. And it looked to me like his face shined. Somebody else reported, someone else saying next to him, Rabbeinu Shalom, I moichel all those people that are on top of me. I moichel all those people that are on top of me. I don't want to leave this world angry. So Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter said that one Rabbeinu Shalom knows why this, nobody knows why this happened. There are people going to come along, what happens is sometimes someone has a, this is his thing, right, that he does for Yiddishkeit, for good reasons. Then he comes and says, I told you all along we have to be more careful with A, B, C, and D. Because that's very reassuring, because if you would only listen to me, it's not going to happen, because I am very careful with A, B, C, and D. It's nobody knows. There was a time we had Nevi'im, the Navi can tell you. They say from the Amshon of the Rebbe that there was a terrible gzeira, this whole story going around with a dream. I don't want to get into it because these things are unsubstantiated. They say that he said that there was a terrible gzeira, a terrible, terrible gzeira, headed for Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom, and these were the 45 karbanos. And you know, it's true, and everyone on their level. But pain is pain, a loss is loss, is grief is grief, and the way we look at Lag BaOmer, right? It's the one thing that unified all of Klal Yisrael. And indeed, the Karbanos were from every single walk of life of Klal Yisrael. So, the hole can't be filled. You can't fix the Becher, but you could draw a picture. The hole can't be filled, but you could light it up. I said, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Somebody once said, by me, that means a locomotive is heading my way, with my mazel. When he sees light at the end of the tunnel, I say, so get on the train. Easier done easier said than done, right? To get on the train. So if I could just share with you this piece of Sfas Emes. He brings here from, and I think it puts things a little bit into perspective, this week's Parsha is Bichu Kaisai. He says, Adoni Avizal, referring to his grandfather, Yichdush Yerim, Higid, Pirish HaMedrish Hanal, Alpia Mishnah, the Mishnah says like this, Imeina Nili Mili. What does the Mishnah say? If I am not who I am, right? Who is? Imeina Nili Mili, right? And Kashanila Atzmi Iman, even Bli Achshav Emesai. Imeina Nili, if I'm not going to be who I am, if Yaakov's not going to be Yaakov, if Ari's not going to be Ari, if we're all not going to be who we are, then who are we? But when we're on our own, what are we? And if not now, when? He says, Pshat is like this. Ki chol adam nivra al davar miyuchid. If you are alive, then there's something you can accomplish and you have to accomplish and you were sent down to this world for that nobody else in the world can do. Ma she'i efshir la'adam achar l'sakin, raku, only you. And not only in terms of your overall life, if you, Yosef, if you, Binyamin, if you, Jassi, if you were sent down to this world for, it's not Pshat, you were sent down to this world for a reason, that's pashit, that you could do something nobody else can do. But v'chein kol shah v'shah, every hour of life, that we have is a gift on its own, as we see. Somebody said a good vart. If this would have chas v'shalom, it should never happen. A terrorist attack. And there was a terrorist attack of Free Bachar. And there was a young man that was shot in Baltimore. Is that true?
Yeah.
Shalom?
Yeah.
Wow. So, but again, there it is. Oh, he was shot. Oh, crime. Oh, terrorists, right? So, that here, Nebuchadnezzar should be Mispal, should be Nechama, should be Rafuah, and Yeshua is Rebbe. But here, Pshat is, the Nebuchadnezzar made it in such a way as, no, you're not going to blame anyone else. You have to come to terms with this. At Sarach Lizboinen Kal Shah V'Shah Al Matnas Chayim, he says, a person has to think every moment about the Matana of life. About the Matana of life. So Hashem, you're sending us a message. Let a piska, let a kvittel fall down from Shemayim and tell us why this happened. Right now, there was a time there were Nevi'im. Nevi'im used to tell us why catastrophes happen. Now what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is each one of us to reflect on ourselves. Sometimes you get a voice message and it goes, you have a voice message from, blah, 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 and you listen and you listen and you don't hear anything. And you hear like this krechts. Click. To save this message, press 9. What should I save? Ugh. And the answer is no. Silence is a big message. Right? Somebody calls, a voicemail picks up, you hang up. Somebody calls, it's like, ugh, you know, someone's trying to speak to you. He's not getting through. You hear his pain in the silence. Just because we don't know what it is doesn't mean the message isn't clear. I'll call Neshima v'Neshima to Halal Ka. It says, Kiyad al Kais Ka. That's before Mashiach. We got to take it breath by breath. We don't need the entire parasha. So I saw a beautiful vart from Rav Menashe Reisman, and I want to share it with you. Thus, our smart board. They all work differently. I can't figure them out. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Hareini noes kvaydecha, show me your kavod, show me your honor. Before Mashiach is going to come, I know there's going to be loads of problems. Can you please show me what's going to be, what's going to happen? Hareini noes kvaydecha. What did the Eibush to say? Anyone? What does Hashem say? Where Isa you will see Esachoyre. You'll see my back. Go ahead. You'll see my back of funny la Europe. I can't show you my front. That's what Hashem said, whatever that means. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show Moshe Rabbeinu? I guess I pressed the wrong button. Ari, what am I doing wrong?
That's
a Who?
Yeah.
My finger ran out of ink. Yes. We're doing good with our tech tonight.
Yeah,
I can tell, because Ari's really into learning tonight. Yes.
It broke.
It broke?
It's
shine. Okay, it's not so important.
You have markers, everybody wants to use a real voice.
Look at this new invention. Wow. Not going to mess this up, right? So Hashem said, the Eibishter showed Moshe Rabbeinu Kesher Shel Tefillin. Everyone's Kesher Shel Tefillin is a little bit different, but let's say it's a dalet, okay? That's in the back of your neck. We'll have to do a little better here on the picture. This is the front of your tefillin. One day there'll be a marker here that has ink in it, okay? This is the front, okay? But this is, now, in the front of your tefillin, in the front, the right side is rachamim. The left side is din. The right side is rachamim, the left side is din. That's why it says that you're right by the shalyad, when your tefillin hangs down, the right side should be a little bit longer than your left side. But when it comes into your back, if this is the back of your head, okay? Let's imagine this is the back of your head. This is working as good as my finger does. So let's say, if it ain't meant to happen, it's not going to happen. So let's say this is the back of my head, right? The tefillin go into the knot. You don't know which side is coming out of the knot. You don't know if it's the right side coming out of the knot or the left side coming out of the knot. So in other words, we don't know what's din and what's rachman. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin. Then before Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be like Rashi says in Chumash, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is Rachamim, Elokeinu is Din, Shem is Rachamim Echad. The Greeks said, you know, the concept of Greek and really the basis of religious understanding, generally, Lahavdil is, there's the devil, that's evil, you know, And there's God that's good. There's heaven and the other thing that rhymes with bell, whatever. But we're saying, what are we saying? We're really saying Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're saying that what to us seems like har of harers, and what's bracha, bracha, all comes from the same source. And that's very hard to understand. You're right, it is very hard to understand. It's our nesayin to this world. And that's in B'chukai Setelechu. B'chukai Setelechu means you have to be bottled to a higher metzias. I remember once going to Miron. I was a young man. And I had this experience that my shoe, my shoelace snapped. Since then, I stopped wearing laces. You know what it's like climbing that mountain and you don't have a shoelace? Every step you make, you're losing your shoe. And somebody gave me a rubber band. It doesn't really work. And I tried with a phone charger. And it wasn't. So since then, whenever I go on a trip, I always take along 6 pairs of shoelaces until I got my Samsung. And then once I'm looking at myself and I'm laughing, like, that now I have nothing to worry about, right? Because I have 6 shoelaces, right? That's going to solve your problem, right? Shoe. Do we know? Like shoe, you know. Yeah, shoe, right. Yeah, shoe. Shemitah, says Ramosh is Lashon Yachad, Yoib is Lashon Rabin. In your life, everything that you rely on, I have money in the bank, I have a settled home, I'm perfect, I wear my seatbelt, everything you rely on, when it comes Shemitah, let go. My field, my parnasa, my bank account, everyone, come on, take all. You mean I have no control over my life? Yes. And believe it or not, people were set into place. Tonight's my father's yard site, David Shmuel Yom Talipa. He grew up in a little town called Sokolov. Sokolov had cows, sheep, goats. Father would say, you got a new Pesach suit once every 6 years. And which was a hand-me-down from your brother, who got it from his great uncle, got it from his great grandfather, who got it from the Kayan on Yom Kippur. I don't know, I got it someplace. And Satmar Rebbe once saw someone walking, and he was wearing this ripped kittel, like shredded kittel. Probably wasn't a Kabbal Tum anymore. And he said, what's that? He says, my Zaydis kittel, you know. So he said, now he understands. It says, Mevloi Nichse Kayhanim. When the big dekena would warp, they use it for the menorah. So he said, why did they dafka use that for the so people shouldn't wear it 60 years later. Okay. You know, so he said a goat came and ate up his Pesach suit when he finally got a new one. That was his experience in the farm. And the father said he had this urge to see what's going on in the world. He wanted to learn Litvish Yeshivas. So for a boy in Chassidish world to learn Litvish Yeshivas, I may as well tell you I'm going to Libya now. I'm going to Iran. It was like, I can't explain the culture shock. His father thought he's off the wall, got onto the train to go. They didn't give him a red cent to go along with it. He didn't give up on his Chassidus. Chassidus was very precious to him. Wanted to see what's going on. He wanted to learn there. His mother ran along and secretly threw bread into the window. And he went to Kamenitz. He arrived there on the day of Rav Baruch Breslovaya. He wound up in Bialystok with the Navardika. And eventually he wound up going over to Shanghai. And that's what saved his life. Because nobody in his town survived. And he says, what made me go? I don't know what made me go. And when I'm not going to get into the whole Shanghai story, but there's one thing I remember, that when they got the passports, whatever it took, to travel to Japan, how do you get from Vilna to Japan? You have to cross the entire Soviet Union, if you know your geography. Okay? Now, the F train does not go that far. Stalin, for whatever reason, decided to build a Trans-Siberian Railroad. As if it rushed out with thousands of people got on to cross Siberia, you know, on a 6-week journey. So they bought tickets to the train, and they were going to travel from one side of Russia to the other, then figure out a way to get over the sea to Japan, if Japan would let them in. The whole thing was wild. To say it was a long shot, it wasn't just a long shot, it was beyond. But a lot of people said, don't get onto that train. And the Soviets are laughing their head. Instead of them having to arrest you and schlep you to Siberia, you're paying for it and you're getting on the train. Are you going there? Don't do it. And my father went to the Amshin of the Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, was with them. He said, should we go? They're saying we traveled through Siberia, they're going to take us off, we'll never come back. And the Rebbe said, Yachfur, I'm moving on. I'm not going to get stuck in my life in a trauma. I have to move on. I'm not telling you what to do. And they traveled with him, and Lamaisa had saved their life. As they were traveling in Siberia, the people on the said, you're not coming down there. You're not. And you always told me the story, there are times in your life you don't want to go on. There are times in your life, there are so many questions, you don't want to go on, and it got to be Yachfur. And he once, the Rebbe, he was very close with the Rebbe in Shanghai, he once called him to task. He said, his bekesh is like a little ripped. So he said, okay, you know, nobody, we're hoarding food. We don't know what's going to be for tomorrow. He said, no. There are a lot of Yidden over here that ran away during World War I. It was like an international city. They never saw a yeshiva bacha before. This is more important than food. Maybe she will give you food. You make sure you look presentable, that you're Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. That's the reason you're here. What's going to be tomorrow? There is no tomorrow. No, there's no tomorrow. Do today. Live today. And I think that I look at my father's generation, they had an ability not to crumble in the face of existential threats. They looked at every crisis and said, what's my job now? They avoided anger and blame. They converted it to positive energy and found the emes in themselves. You got to look for the emes. We got to try to find the emes in ourselves. How does the story go? The guy walks into an antique shop and he sees this. There's a cat. The cat is drinking milk from a plate. And the guy looks at that plate. He goes, that's an expensive piece of china. That plate is worth $30,000. Says, I can't say, I want that plate, because the guy will catch on. There's something special about it. So he tells the guy, psst, I want to buy the cat. You want to buy the cat? Yeah. Because once he buys the cat, the sorcerer will come along. He goes, how much do you want for the cat? He goes, God, that's a special cat. It's very dear to me. I wouldn't give that cat up for anything, except for $3,000. $3,000 for a cat? You want the cat? Fine, I'll buy the cat. No problem. He buys the cat. Then he says, so give me the saucer. We need the saucer for. No, the cat is used to eating, drinking from the milk. He'll drink from a different saucer. No, but I thought the saucer comes along with the cat. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And he starts bidding for the saucer. The guy knows exactly how much it's worth. He goes, then why are you using the cat? If you know how expensive the saucer is, the plate is, why are you filling up with milk for the cat? He goes, you know how much money I made on this already? How many cats I sold? He said. Says in the Sefer Zera Shimshon, says in this week's Medrash, Cheshavti drachai yeshiva ragli led v'secha. David and Melech said, David said, I'll look at the world, and I had meetings with all the ambassadors, and I just ran to the base of Medrash. What does that mean? So what are you making the meetings for? So he says, look, everything in my life, nothing worked out my way. David HaMelech, his whole life, he was surrounded with death, surrounded with pain, surrounded with horror of horrors. He said, I just kept saying, Hashem knows better than me, and I'm going to reset. And we don't know what's happening, but what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us is to reset. He doesn't take away books. I'll share this one last story with you. I've said it before. And I once went, I traveled once, I was going upstate, to a certain Shabbaton. A fellow called me and said that there's a federal prison about a half hour out of your way, and you can go visit, please go visit so-and-so there. So I said, okay. But he told me, you cleared it? He says, yeah, we cleared it. Then he called me back, he said, won't work. So why not? It's because it's every second Sunday he has visitors, and it's not, so this is what we were still able to visit. Okay, so I come back to New York, and I'm illadapting, and I get a phone call, and this guy says, guess what, I got like a variance. I got permission for you to go. Go! I said, I should go? But now I'm back in New York already. Now for me to go is 3.5 hour drive. It was only, he says, oh, you only do mitzvahs when it's close by? Yeah. That's what he told me. So I went back. I drove 3.5 hours in the rain, and I come up and this guard, this like Oyg Melech HaBashan is standing there. And he goes, you can't see him. So I figured, because he thinks it's every second Sunday. I said, no, I think there's a variance. I know, but you can't see him. I said, can I ask why? Why did he give me this dirty look? And he said, because the visiting room is full. There's no more seats. I said, could we stand? No! And then I said, he tells me, could I wait in the car? He goes, you ought to get off federal property right now, or I'll write you up. I have no idea what it means to write someone up. I didn't know it was like this board that doesn't write or this pen. I don't know, I imagined he's going to take out this big magic marker and write me. I don't know what I was going to do. And so I went into the car, and then they came out, two guards came out and told me I should leave right away. So I left and I drove down this mountain into like a little gas station, and I called up this Oscar and told him, that guy, he's such a, you know, he makes life miserable for everybody. And so I'm sitting there and I say, I was really like, I drove 3.5 hours. After driving 3.5 hours, and now I can't even see the person because the visiting room is full. And I see cars coming out. So I called the guy up. He says, tell me, so I see cars going out. I see cars going out. I think I can go back and say that now there's room? Or this guy's going to like write me up? I don't know. I says, I think it's going to work, but you could try. I says, what does it mean if he writes you up? He says, you know, you get like a citation. You can't come visit again. Nope. So I'm on my way up. And I was really like charged, and I pulled over to the side, and I was like, Mamish, like, I remember, like, I had tears in my eyes. I said, look, Hashem, it can't be that this guy, this Oig Melech HaBashan there, Sichon, whatever his name is, it can't be he's stopping me from doing this mitzvah. I drove 3.5 hours. I wasn't Zoicha to be a Mesameich someone. So I beg of you, whatever I did wrong, that I'm not Zoicha, please don't make this guy suffer. I was like, I was charged enough that I actually meant what I was saying. I said, okay, I'm going to try. And I pull up in front of him, and he looks at me, and I'm about to say, he goes, all right, just hey, give me your ID, and let's go. I'm so happy, and I reach for my wallet.
Oh, no.
My wife made me change my suit before we went up. And my wallet is on my dining room table 3.5 hours away. He goes, ID. And I'm like, I think it's in the car. I was just stalling for time. I'll go get it. And he goes, all right, never mind, just go. Everyone told me that's impossible. But that's what he did. He let me in. I had been there before. He had an arrest. I don't know. He let me in. And I told this guy the story. I told him. I said, you know, at the point that we realize it's not anyone else, stop worrying. Not worrying. I mean, we have to get out of our depression. We have to get out of our zets. And yes, we don't understand what went on. And life has to, Rabbanu Shalom, in your hands. You're right. You proved to me 10,000 more. But today you're giving me the gift of life, and I have to do something with it. And when we do it, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help, that we should see Yeshuas and Simchas, and we should see the light of Rav Shimon with Simcha and Nachas, and we should understand how all difficult things are good, how the Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and how Din turns to Rachamim, Hareini Hashem Chazecha, in a way that we can all clearly see. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming.